Good morning, friends, and welcome here to the table. My name is Matt, and along with Linda Duhirsu, I serve as a co-pastor here for this community, and we're so grateful to be together in the wake of beautiful rain yesterday and in the clouds this morning. We're grateful to have with us Toby on piano while Brendan is away, to have Julian and Melissa joining Hannah this morning, and Natalie and Ariel are away today, and Ben and Tim, who are with us as always in your beautifulness. We are grateful. Whether you are with us in person or online, we are grateful for each of you gathering in this space. And for those that are online, Kara is with you today as our host, and you're welcome to reach out to her. Pastor Linda is away today. She's actually has an opportunity to preach at the church of her childhood, which brings with it some, I imagine, anxiety as you go back to where you used to be a teenager, and that's in Berkeley, just down the way. So she'll be back with us next week. While we gather in the midst of so much gratitude and beauty, we also arrive this morning aware, some of us in our own bodies, and for all of us in the world swirling around, of just how much hurt and suffering is in our world as well. We come with a sense of foreboding at the unrelenting cycles of violence that fill our world. And so we open this day with prayer for all of God's beloved children who find themselves in harm's way, for those, God, who are fearful amid war, for those afraid to walk in the streets of our own city. We pray for those who live in fear within the walls of their own homes, and for those who live without homes. For everyone everywhere who feels that all is lost, God, may you plant seeds of peace that lead all of creation to rest in the depth of your love. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're willing and able, and our musicians will move us into worship with song.
He's not lost. Yes, I will move this down. I'm very short. Good morning, I'm Nancy Allen. Our reading this morning comes from Acts 4, 29 through 35, and I'll be sharing from the First Nations version, an Indigenous translation of the New Testament. We invite you to follow along. So we ask, O Great One, look down and see their threats against us. Help us to be brave and tell your story well by performing many powerful signs as we represent your holy servant, Creator sets free, Jesus. When they finished praying, the place where they had gathered began to rumble and shake. The Holy Spirit filled them with his power, and with brave and strong hearts, they began to tell the Creator's story. With one heart and mind, all who trusted in Creator sets free shared their possessions with each other. No one claimed their belongings to be only for themselves. With great power, the message bearers told the story of how their honored chief, Creator Sets Free, had defeated death and returned to life. Creator's gift of great kindness was covering all of them like a warm blanket, and no one among them was in need. Those who owned houses or land sold them and brought what they had gained and gave it to the message bearers to share with everyone. Please stand for our next song, This Joy.
This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. Say the strength that I have.
The strength that I have.
Say the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this strength that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Say this strength that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. This love, say,
this love that I have,
the world
didn't give it to me.
Oh, this
love that I have,
say,
the world didn't give it to me.
Don't you know that this love that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Say, the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. Say this pride that I
this
have,
pride that I have,
the world didn't give it to me.
This pride that I have,
say the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this pride that I have,
the world didn't give it to me.
The world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. Say
this peace that I have,
the world didn't give
it to me.
Say this peace.
this joy that I have.
Yeah, say, the world didn't give it to me. No, the world didn't give it.
The world can't take it away.
Yeah, say the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away.
Amen. You sound beautiful. I invite us to be seated, and we want to again welcome those online. Especially, you're welcome to reach out to Kara. Here in the sanctuary, you'll find in along the side of the pews QR codes that will take you to a bulletin, and the link will be shared online. We'd love, if you're new to our space, for you to go to our Connect card, which is online, and you can share some information there. I'm going to send our children out at this moment. We're doing the order of worship a little bit different. I got some movement up in the front, ready to go. That's beautiful. Maybe, Toby, can you, I don't know, can you give us some walking music? Whatever you feel like for walking music. Oh, Hannah's on it. Who knows? Somebody give us walking music. Oh, they did. As our children make their way toward Godly Play, we have two Godly Play sanctuaries upstairs, one for our youngest friends that are in kindergarten through second grade, and a second just down the hallway. Our children gather there as a community on a circle, and they hear and they see and they witness stories from our scripture and from our tradition, and they wonder about the movement of God in their own lives. We do take an offering upstairs in Godly Play for Mustard Seed School, which is a school just down the street here for children in families, part of families experiencing homelessness. I'm going to invite, as our children go out, I want to invite Nancy to come up and join us. Nancy is our past chair of our administrative board, and she's going to join us here along with Lynn Edison and Stephen Starr. Lynn is part of our administrative board currently, and Lynn watches over our facility in love in what the Methodist world calls trustees. I also promised Lynn she'd never have to be on camera, so sorry, Lynn. You're amazing. We love you. And Stephen is part of our administrative board as well, and he helps with restoration of our facility. And so we're going to move into what we call a fireside chat, and Nancy will introduce that a little bit more.
Well, good morning. As Matt said, I'm Nancy Allen. I served on the admin board for 3 years, 2 years in the trustees role, and then one as chair. But you can leave, but you can never really leave, because you get Melissa Jacobs and Derek Kirk asked me to fill in for them this morning and host this little fireside chat. Derek spoke beautifully last week about how we are maturing as a community of faith, and the admin board is leading with you all as we kind of move into the next steps at the table. And so the point of these fireside chats is that you all really get a better understanding and knowledge of how this church works. How do we function? And so that's me. I'm going to turn it over for some introductions.
Hi, I'm Lynn Edison. I've been on the board for, this is my second year, and I've been with the table since 2012. And as Matt said, my focus is facilities, and I'm also on the restoration team.
And I'm Stephen Starr. I've been with the table for, I think, 9 years. And I've been the lead for restoration, which is kind of project manager guy for, it seems like forever. but it's been a long time. And love being at the table.
So last week we heard from Kelly and Debbie about our budget and how they set the budget every year, how we plan for known expenses and also unexpected expenses like a boiler. A lot of those expenses are around taking care of this building and our facilities. And we are not alone in this. Many churches and institutions are struggling with this. Through the 40s and 50s and 60s, churches and schools and hospitals and government buildings were built, but we didn't invest in keeping those buildings up, and so a lot of us are facing kind of a crisis of deferred maintenance, and we've definitely seen that here at the table. So Lynn, let's start with just, can you tell everyone a little bit about our building and how it's used during the week?
So the main thing is we have a preschool that's here 5 days a week, and that's probably our biggest tenant. We also have groups that come in like Al-Anon and things like that that are here. Obviously, we have kitchen tables that are used, and hopefully soon we will have a bakery using our kitchen to bake the bread that we get every week, and they will be here. And so that's really what we've done.
Awesome. Thank you. And so, Stephen, as Lynn told us, we do get a lot of love during the week. It's very busy here if you've never been here in the middle of the week. You have been watching over this facility and this restoration and improvement projects. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the things that we've done so far?
So we have been very, very busy. If you're new here, you wouldn't believe what it used to look like. It wasn't pretty, but it is now. And starting over in the A-frame, we had two 1940s toilets and a urinal, and that was it. And so our first project was to gut that area, and there was a lobby at the A-frame. And so we went ahead and took that over, and we just gutted the whole thing. And I've got amazing pictures, if you're into pictures. And we replaced it and put in all new toilets, and we made it more of an all-gender, so the central sink with the toilets on both sides, and then we have children's toilets. If you haven't seen the children's toilets, it's hysterical. You've got to go see them. They're these little white things down here. It's amazing. I was like, whoa! Anyway, so we did that. That's fabulous. And then we replaced all the lighting in the hallways with LED. We put in all new flooring, so it wouldn't be ugly, and now it's beautiful. We put in new covers, new rubbery cover stuff on the stairs. There were steps right outside this door, and we had that removed and put in a ramp so people could get up and down on it with canes and wheelchairs, etc. We replaced all the lighting in fireside. We took out a door in fireside. We took out a radiator in this hall. We mounted a TV in fireside. We did the other bathrooms, and those were something to see. Well, you want to see pictures. So they used to be these little tiny toilets with a fabric that went this way, and it was very inappropriate. So we gutted that all out. We took over a classroom from the hallway in order to make a nice, beautiful, fabulous, all-gender bathroom. I still walk in, and I'm like, wow, look at this. And then we got at the 1940s kitchen, and that was quite the endeavor. And, you know, if you want to get permits with the city, good luck. So we gutted the kitchen. We put in a whole new kitchen. We had to put in new venting that went all the way through the room above it into the roof. And we've got this amazing bread oven from France. The paperwork actually came in French, which the city loved. They loved that part. And we've got Rise Up Bread, which will be here any day. And they will start using that kitchen and making bread for us. So that's exciting, and we've done a lot. And at this point, there's a lot that needs to be done. And I could go on and on.
I'm gonna stop you for a second. I'm gonna wrest control of this situation back now. and Stephen has been an amazing project manager. That is a gift, that is a skill set, and just really has kept us all on track. So, final question, final Jeopardy. What is one thing each of you would like our community to understand about this building that we call home, that the table calls home?
Even though the admin board is the group responsible to making sure things happen, if it wasn't for each of you helping out, and not just in generous giving with deep commitments, but with, you know, your time. There's people who come and mow the lawn every week. There's people who come and, you know, make coffee for us, who bake bread. If that wasn't happening, because the admin board, we don't do those things. If we didn't have people that volunteered and stepped up, it wouldn't get done. So if you have gifts that you would like to, you know, use in service at the table, you know, let us know, because we're always happy to have people that are willing to help. But it wouldn't happen without you guys. So it's not just us, it's definitely the whole community.
Stephen?
You know, just recently, Matt was letting us know a big tree fell in the backyard along the back parking lot and had to be removed. There's always stuff that has to be done. And we're getting phone calls that somebody broke into the church and they're wandering around, or the sewer backs up. So there's always stuff going on, and there's always the need for more help and more support to keep this place open.
So thank you, both of you. So in the next few weeks and months, you're going to be hearing about in the next phase of our capital campaign, because we want to continue to invest in that building, take into this building, take care of some of that deferred maintenance, make it a beautiful, modern facility so that we have room for everyone at the table. So I want to thank Stephen and Lynn for their service to the board and for participating in this fireside chat. See, Lynn, it wasn't bad. You were great.
Yeah, okay.
You were great. Thank you. Oh. So you can stay seated for our next a new song from our music team.
There's no need to hide. Be free from fear, the tension and the grind. All we gotta do is take a little break. Space between the stimulus and the beating in each chest. Room enough for you, room enough for me. Keep tearing down this wall. Sexuality, neither class nor country or personality, but no, nothing can separate all that God has, because it's love that's shining in the strangest face. Room enough for you, room enough for me. Keep tearing down these walls till there's in the streets until we all
Amen. As our musicians move down, I'll invite us into a spirit of prayer. God, may your love keep breaking down every wall that separates us from ourselves, from one another, and from the depth of your love. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be in alignment with your hope for the world in this moment. and for our own moment in time. We offer this in your creative ways and many names. Amen. Pastor Linda last Sunday shared a message that was rooted in this powerful, beautiful metaphor for how we on this side of Easter might share in life together, something like how the birds called starlings maneuver in the air over Elk Grove, where she and Mark and their family live. We learned that, or at least I learned, that each starling pays attention to only 5, 6, 7 surrounding birds as they fly. There's no designated leader, but instead, any single starling can initiate a change in direction, and then a consensus can emerge within just like 50 milliseconds. And Pastor Linda emboldened us to wonder about what it might look like or feel like for us to move as a community with that kind of deep listening and spontaneity as we order our life together in worship and watching over each other in love in kitchen tables. And as I shared, as we open worship, Pastor Linda is away this morning. She's preaching in a church of her childhood in Berkeley. And I did find myself wondering, and she's a guest preacher there, and if you tell her I opened with this, I'm going to deny it. So I just want to say that. But I did find myself wondering this week about this metaphor that she gave us to think about. I found myself holding this image, like, where do I allow myself to fly like those starling? Who are the 6 or 7 people surrounding me like those birds that I'm paying such beautifully close, tender attention to that I can shift in milliseconds with them? And here's where my wondering went. Well, I'm not sure if that starling knows where she's going. These murmurations, that's the sound they make, they seem a little loud, actually. Could we quiet this down? Am I flying too fast now? Well, is this too slow? And once I start to spiral, it means I've already been spiraling for a long, long time. And I don't know what keeps you from being truly in it together with others, but judgmentalism is a key blocker for me. You're not supposed to laugh at that part. Thousands of starling can find consensus within 50, like a 50th millisecond, however you say that, and I don't even need that much time to make a judgment about a situation. I'm quicker. Instead of flying in beautiful mutuality, I spiral in judgment and I almost inevitably crash into the other starling, or I beat myself up and I just crash to the ground. In this together? Nah. I found myself, part of the daily ritual for me, along with working out with a friend that tries to help keep me sane, is to read from Richard Rohr and then also from the Wisdom of the Enneagram. And if you're not sure what the Enneagram is, you can kind of ignore a little bit of this and see if there's anything in it for you. But for those that are familiar with the Enneagram, we each kind of identify with 1 of 9 kind of ways of moving in the world, and the one that I identify with is 1 out of 9. Not because it's the best, but it is the first. And it says this: what ones are actually seeking, what people in my way of moving in the world are actually seeking, is not judgment, but the quality of discernment. Discernment is noticing that things have different qualities. Discernment requires you to be a witness, not a judge. Presence alone will allow judgment to transform into discernment. Presence alone will allow judgment to transform into discernment. I learned this week that I'm actually, thankfully, not the first person to take my seat at judgment. It turns out that others, maybe in our own midst, maybe some of you, but others who've gone before us have noticed this about our tendency to take our places in the seat of judgment. The Swiss Reformed theologian Karl Barth, he's widely recognized as really one of the most influential theologians of the last century. In a book called Church Dogmatics, Barth says this: "It is our basic sin to take the place of the judge, to try to judge ourselves and others. All our other sins, both small and great, derive ultimately from this source. Jesus," he says, "took our place as judge." "He took our place as the judged. He was judged in our place, and he acted justly in our place." We are rooting worship throughout the month of April in chapter 4 from the book of Acts, where we encounter those early followers of the risen one on this side of Easter, discerning how they are going to go about sharing in life together in the early wake of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. And they, like Jesus, find themselves placed on a trial. And in this moment in Acts 4, where they are on trial, where they're being judged by others in religious and political authority, they're faced with some choices. Will they join the side of the judges? Will they judge themselves and judge even their co-conspirators? Identify them. Give them away. Will they judge Jesus? Give him away. Will they judge the judges? Or will they be faithful witnesses who proclaim, as Reverend Dr. Willie James Jennings says it, that violence and death, and they cry just like that, for real. Violence and death are no longer the ultimate power. Jesus is risen. Giving witness to that. Not judgment to that. And in our reading from Acts, the followers of Creator Sets Free find themselves on trial much like Jesus was. They stand then before the same, you could say, religious and political authorities. And will they, like Jesus, be found to be criminals? We in the church don't often struggle with that very often, what it means that Jesus is found to be a criminal and what implications that might have for us in this day. Will they abandon the power of resurrection and take up their own places as pawns in empire's destructive ways? In a provocative commentary on the book of Acts, Dr. Jennings poses the challenge this way, and I offer his words. "Jesus tried to prepare his disciples for this moment, but not simply as a moment, but as the revelation of the dividing line between two distinct ways of seeing human life. On the one side are the judges, and on the other side are the judged. The judges are accomplished. They finished their education, benefited from social advantage, believed appropriately, and followed the right confessions, theological, social, and economic. The judges understand political realities and can work with the given situations in order to gain a profitable result. This particular group of judges might have been the Sanhedrin, or it might be better to simply see them as the religious and social elites who are in the positions of judge." Notice that the threat back then, as the threat today, is very real. Pastor Linda and I have been leading Growing in Faith groups, and we've been doing so here in Sacramento over the last number of weeks. Every time a group has finished, as one does this Tuesday, we'll start another group the next week. We've also been out in Davis. We finished a group there tonight. We just led a retreat there on Friday and Saturday. We've been in group after group after group. And one of the beautiful gifts of getting to spend 6 weeks or an evening and then a full day retreat with newcomers is that we get the opportunity to hear the gift and the preciousness of each of some of your stories. It's an amazingly precious gift that we have. To sit with, as people do in kitchen tables every week, newcomers, to hear some of the longing and the hope and the hurt that has brought them to this place, to this time. And in one of these recent groups, I'm always invited in each group, it seems, to see something anew, to step out of where I've like judged everything perfectly and then to move into a place of just witnessing, being present to what is. And this happened recently in a group, and we were gathered together and we were reflecting on the question of how are you loving your neighbor by trying to do no harm? And I've shared about that question in a weekly kitchen table now for 14 years. So that question doesn't always like strike me in the way that it did in this group. This one stunningly thoughtful person in the group acknowledged as we shared how intimidating it feels to potentially hold their life in conversation with the great commandment to love God and love neighbor as self. And as they were doing this, what they were acknowledging was that they had done a lot of personal work over the years to let go of old patterns of how they judge themselves. And what this person was afraid of was that if you gather every week and reflect on where you've been caught up in harm, that they're going to find themselves at the place of judgment, of judging themselves and others in ways that take them right back into that cycle of violence that they've done so much work to untangle themselves from. And we were silent. And others in the group acknowledged and resonated with that question, with that fear, with that reality. This person was clearly not alone, and so we just held that concern. And I felt it in my own body, in my own story, ways that I bump into Starling and crash often are when I start to spiral. And so I've been holding this and wondering about this week, and I'm aware that our hope is that sharing in life together in kitchen tables, by tending to our souls and tending to the souls of one another, maybe 5 to 7 Starling, we do this in hope that we not spiral into judgment, but instead that we open up into deeper forms of discernment, which help us to notice and be present to what's really real in our lives, noticing the qualitative textures of them as witnesses, not as judges, and then allowing those moments of presence that we experience to transform judgment into discernment. And it seems to me that this is something of what Peter and those other disciples are experiencing in Acts 4 when they pray and listen to their prayer. So we ask, O Great One, look down and see their threats against us. Help us to be brave and to tell your story well by performing many powerful signs as we represent your holy servant, Creator sets free. Notice they don't pray with a single bold voice. They pray collectively, communally, together. Dr. Jennings says it more poetically and powerfully than I can muster, and so I hope there'll be a word for you in his words. They see the threat, they pray, and they ask for boldness. This moment sets the template for the movement, for any movement that is of Jesus. We saw it in the civil rights movement. We see it in movements today. There will always be threats because they are the central currency of this world. Threats reflect the anxieties of the powers and principalities having migrated into the hearts of those who believe that they must control religious and political movements, rendering them innocuous or exploitable. We should never marvel at threats. We should marvel here at the action of God witnessed in this template setting moment. So the boldness of the disciples is born of deep intimacy. The kind of intimacy we sometimes touch here in worship, as I did this morning, as Julian and Elizabeth and Hannah and Melissa and our musicians started, and they opened with this joy. And I recognized that I've been going through the morning and I was breathing for the first time. Sometimes that happens in worship. And sometimes it happens in our kitchen tables as we tend to one another's souls. And that intimacy moves us out of a place of judge and into a place of just being present. This happens in growing in faith. The communal boldness refuses to take the place of the judge and instead stays present to the joy that we've been given, a joy that the world cannot take away, no matter the threats. For Jesus is risen. And friends, this means that violence and death are no longer holding ultimate power over you or over anything. No matter what threats come, all is not lost. The Spirit of God is always already planting seeds of peace, and God's suffering creation is being shaded ever more. While we often imagine that boldness comes from within, Dr. Jennings invites us to see resurrection with, for me, new eyes. He says it this way: the modern lie of individualism is most powerful when we imagine that boldness comes from within. It does not. It comes from without, from the Spirit of God. I think the modern lie of individualism is in part what's seeping into my body when I choose to be in the place of judge rather than to do the hard work of building tender, intimate community with others and allowing my slide into judgments to transform into presence and discernment. And in the book of Acts, when they finished praying, the place where they had gathered began to rumble and shake. The disciples released their lives to one another, and there's a rumbling, a shaking. It reflects God's deepest desire for them to experience that joy together. And in that moment, the old order of empire dies. And we witness in the rumbling and the shaking, not just power, but the depths of God's joy, which can be felt in the bodies of creation, a joy that the world neither gives nor can take away. So friends, if I'm going to try to fly like a starling, my task might be to simply be present to the rumbling and the shaking, allowing myself to move with empathy, my star word for the year, and be present. Present as a witness with 5 or 7 starlings flying nearby, allowing the Spirit to form and work from without, surrounding and sustaining, allowing all my default tendencies of spiraling into judgment to be transformed by the Spirit of God as I open to discerning the qualities and allow myself to be raised in mutuality with others. And so may you find your bold brave as you do the work of discerning what prevents you from flying alongside others. And may the Spirit keep working on those places where we all default toward empire's individualist lure, that we might be raised into God's divine dance for all of creation. Amen. Friends, Jesus gave us a practice to be present. A practice to be together in the real moment that we are. And that presence and practice we call as a community communion or common union. A way where we're invited to see that God sees all of creation with eyes of love as one. And God's radical generosity that's poured out in the form of Jesus, who rises over empires, death-dealing ways, we have an invitation now to be fully present to the story of God that's unfolding within us and around us. So I invite you to stand as you're willing or able. And we'll move together to prepare our hearts and minds for coming to the table by acknowledging some of the ways that we fall short of living how God longs for us to be. The church calls this a prayer of confession. And I invite us to join our voices together as one. Let us pray. Too often, risen one, too often we take the place of the judge. We judge ourselves. We judge others. We believe in the modern lie of individualism. instead of committing to the hard, intimate work of being in it together with others. Forgive us, we pray. Amen. Friends, the risen one took the place of all of us as judge. Creator sets free, takes our place as judged. So may we trust the good news of God's resurrection. May we trust the good news that death and violence have been defeated and are evermore. Life is restored in this good news. May we be truly present to God, to ourselves, and one another as the Spirit leads us in to the depths of discernment. Friends, may this truth be yours now and always. Amen. And I invite us into the call and response. This is one of the ways the church practices noticing the starling around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you. And we invite you to turn to a few of those right around you and to share a symbol of that peace one with another. Chaos, water and earth had yet to take shape, and God the sculptor, the painter, the creator touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit began to grow ripe and to celebrate God through holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings started to make waves in the water, and God reached to the sky, and things like starlings took flight, and God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." And when everything was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one that I've been imagining. You and everything around you, my beloved creation, is good." But it wasn't good for long. God's people quickly moved to that seat of judging. And so God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out presence, love, tenderness, and justice and placed it in a form that the people might come to recognize a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be and to call us to love one another. Did all that he could to show us how much God loves us and to teach us to love one another, but we couldn't accept it, we couldn't agree about it, and we became overwhelmed with fear. The principalities and powers lured the people of God to turn against the way made known in the life and the teachings, the love and the suffering of Jesus. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very people who thought that they loved him the best because the struggle was just too much. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered friends around a table and promised them and promises all of us that he will never leave us alone, but will come back to take all of creation home with him. And like those long ago friends, we don't always understand what this means, but we can be grateful and we can call and sing the mystery that is our faith.
Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
On that night when Jesus gathered those close friends, he took the simple meal that was their Passover dinner. He took bread and he took a cup and he blessed them. And he gave thanks to God and said, I'm sharing this meal with you now, so that you can share it together whenever you gather to remember me. Us to continue to move in prayer together, sharing with one voice the words that the church has named the Lord's Prayer. These words have been passed down and evolved and changed through the generations, and I invite you to share, as we always do here at the table, to address God in the way that is deepest and most true to your own heart. Let us pray together with one voice. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this moment and over the gifts which are before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Amen. Friends, I invite you in the sanctuary to be seated. All are welcome here to this table of God's love that is open and extended to all. And here at the table, we truly long to live out a way of life where all truly does mean all. We encourage those who are gathering at home to find whatever you might use for your bread and your juice in this moment, perhaps to light a candle and do whatever you might need to be in this sacred time together. If you're with others, you can reflect together on what might be stirring in you, or if you're on your own, to just notice how the Spirit of God might be there alongside you. For those of us here in the sanctuary, we will have stations set up. We'll have stations here in the front of the sanctuary and also in the back of the sanctuary. On the plate is bread that was baked beautifully for us this weekend, beautifully for you this weekend. And in the cup is always grape juice. And also on the platter, you'll find gluten-free crackers for those that might have that need in this moment. We know that every Sunday there are some who come to this space, and this is a daily or weekly practice that sustains our life. And oftentimes there are others that are here, this is the first time they've done this since they can remember, or they might have some trembling in their bodies about the even possibility of coming for communion. And our hope is that you will be reminded that it's the Spirit of God that invites you into the moment of this time, and that we invite you to move in God's divine dance as you are led. We do our best to watch over each other in love and to support each other. You'll find your way forward or to the back, and also around the sanctuary are places to pause in prayer, to light candles, just signs of light dancing in the beauty of this moment. And then we invite you to pray just where you are in the pews as well. So friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you. And this is the cup of God's love and forgiveness poured out for the whole world. So come when you're ready. Thank you. We encourage those praying with candles to stay in a spirit of prayer for just as long as you need or desire. Loving God, for the depth of the holy mystery through which you are revealed to creation in the simple and sacred act of breaking bread, we give you thanks. May your peace make us one, and may your love call us ever more deeply into the world to care for our neighbors and to live as expressions of your new life. We offer this time in your creative ways and many names in the hope of Jesus Christ, in whom we place our trust. Amen. Friends, it is our hope that you will wonder about next steps that God might have in store for you as you continue to wonder about what it could be like to share in life together here at the table, to be part of a community that does long to be in it together in all of the complexity of what that means. We are grateful for the generous gifts from each of you that allows, like Lynn and Nancy and Stephen shared about, us to do really simple things like assume that the heat is going to turn on when we come into a space or to turn lights on. Your gifts allow basic things like that to happen. They also allow us to reach in love in so many different creative ways. Andy and our team will be down at Table Farm for a special shift for Table Farm on Earth Day, which is April 22nd. That's a Monday evening. We invite you to put that on your calendar and join with others along with the other shifts that are down there. The day before, for those who live in Yolo County in Davis or Woodland or beyond, we'll be out in Davis for a pop-up worship next Sunday, April 21st. Earth Day is that next day. We'll be at the farm. And then we have two openings. We had a cancellation for our upcoming Growing in Faith series that starts April 23rd, and so like 9 days. So if you would like to connect with others and see what it's like to try to take flight with others, Starling, we would love to have you go on our website and to sign up for that today. We have two spots that are open. We'd love to have you as the person that joins us. If there are two in your group, we'd love to have that. And outside, you'll find books for those who are here in person. And if you're signing up online, we would love to find a way to get a book to you this week so we can move in that. Our musicians are going to send us out in song. I invite you to stand in body or spirit. This is This Little Light of Mine.
Amen. 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 Little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it shine.
Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it shine.
Said this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. To show my love,
I gotta tell you,
everywhere I go,
I'm gonna let it shine.
I'm gonna let it shine.
Oh, everywhere,
everywhere I go,
I'm gonna let it shine. Yeah,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Everywhere I go,
everywhere I go,
I'm gonna let it shine. Show my love.
Yes, I will.
Oh, even in my home, oh,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Yeah, even in my home, I'm gonna let it shine.
I'm gonna let it shine.
Even in my home, yeah, I'm gonna let it shine.
I'm gonna let it shine,
yeah.
I'm gonna let it shine.
When I see my neighbor, river coming.
When I see my name,
I'm gonna let it,
Friends, may the intimacy of being in community lead us to a boldness that we might become witnesses to the new life that God is raising within us and all around us. May you go in that peace that is God's way. Amen.
Yeah.